We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness toward us. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray tonight that your will be done, Lord, in our hearts. That you'll speak to us, Lord, through your word. Quicken it, Lord, to us. Give us understanding, Lord. Give us hope. Give us life. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And we commit our ways right now into your hands. Let your anointing rest on the word tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm sure all of us, I know I have, all of us at some time or other have had some desperate circumstances, things that happened to us that are not fun to go through. And sometimes in the midst of something like that, you know, you ask the question maybe, what are we doing down here? What in the world is going on, you know, with everything, you know, that's happening? The title of my message tonight, The Big Picture. The Big Picture. I could walk up, you know, and stand right in front of that. And I see part of it, but I don't see the whole thing. You know, when we go through life and we go through our circumstances and things that happen to us, we see the little picture that we're in the middle of. Maybe it's a battle, you know, whatever, but we're right in the middle of it and we don't see the whole circumstance. And we think, God, where are you? So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, the big picture. And you know, we're living in a very complex world. It seems to have no meaning without having an understanding of the Word of God. And that's the truth. We do not have, it does not make any sense without the Word of God. The Bible gives us an understanding of life and what it is all about. And it's revealed to us by God's Spirit as we commit ourselves to our Maker and Creator, who alone can give us wisdom and understanding in our purpose here on earth. Do you know what your purpose on earth is? Do you know what that purpose is? You know, we're learning. I hope all of us are growing into that purpose, you know, and learning more and more about what we're really doing here. In John 17, verses 1 through 3, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. He was going to be going through some really, really tough things for you and I that he was going to have to face. And the hour had come. Up to this point, you know, it had been something else. But now the real battle was going to take place. It says, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It's interesting, too, that he makes this statement, you know, that you should give that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. God's the one that was at work out there in the world. He's the one that gave directions to Jesus where to go, who to talk to, what to say, and all of that stuff. God has given us a calling in this world. And the Holy Spirit can also do that same thing for us. He can say who to go to, what to say, you know, and give instruction. And that's your calling. That's your calling. John chapter 1, verses 11 to 13. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Think about the Jewish nation that was waiting for the Messiah. He came to them, and they didn't recognize him. They did not receive him for the most part. But in verse 12 it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's a spiritual birth. It's a spiritual birth. Remember, Nicodemus went to Jesus and wanted to know, you know, more about that. And Jesus said, like, you're a rabbi. You're supposed to know this stuff. And he did not understand. 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The word life is a very important word there. The ones that didn't receive him, they didn't have life. They weren't going to get life unless they did something about it. But I like this. He has a son, has life. You want to know whether you have life or not? Do you have the son? Is he within you? Then you'll have life. And this life is actually but a preparation for the next. You wonder, what am I doing down here? You're preparing for what's out there. You are actually preparing. It's almost like going to school to prepare you for going out in the world. Only this is for the real McCoy and not for the messed up world that some of that stuff is at. So this is life. This life is but a preparation for the next. It's our proving ground for the future. You know, it used to be when they built automobiles and everything, they would take it out and test it. You know, they'd run it over a rough road and they'd do this and that and the other thing, checking out to make sure it would really hold up, it would really work good. I think now a lot of that they've been passed on down to us, and that's why you see these recalls, you know, so much on vehicles. So our life here that we're living right now, it's a proving ground for the future. It presents us with the, what's this word, mind-boggling opportunity to prepare ourselves for our future life with the Creator of the universe who made us for himself to have fellowship with and to pour out his love and good gifts upon those who will put their trust and confidence in him. While we don't always understand everything that happens around us in our world, what God is looking for, he's looking for those that will trust him regardless of what we see, of what we understand, whatever. He wants to see that we're trusting him. And we're building on something that's going to be advantageous to us in the future life that we have with the Lord. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's one of the first things we need to do. We need to confess our sins to him. Recognize I'm a sinner. I need God. There's no hope for me in this world unless I have his forgiveness. We have been given eternal life. Now, we talked about life. The next life is eternal life. Well, actually, we have it now. But eternal life. We have been given eternal life when we confess our sins to him and invite him to come and live within us. So God provides the grace to come before his presence with the forgiveness of our sins, which have been washed away by the blood that Jesus shed for us on Calvary. And Jesus has provided us with his righteousness, so that we can now come before our Father as sons and daughters in right standing before him, just as if we'd never sinned. Boy, what a deal. Just as if we'd never sinned. And God loves us, and he will do whatever is necessary or required to bring us and to keep us in that relationship with him. He'll give us everything that we have need of to keep us on track with the Lord. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So that's the will of God, that all of us should come to repentance and be ready. He didn't create us for hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for us. But it's like man determined they're going there. You know, it's like, I figure things out. This is my life. I can do what I want with it. Okay? You can believe the lie and end up where you're really not going to want to be at some point. 2 Peter 1:4. Oh, okay. I'll talk about something else too. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that's the will of God. He's not willing that any should come to, that any should perish. So we're given his written word and his promises to meet every need that we have, to be with us forever and to make us more like him. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1:4. "By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now, these great and precious promises is what he's given to us that will help us and prepare us to walk through this world. But these great and precious promises, first of all, you have to see them. You have to see them. You have to believe in them. And you have to obey them. If it's going to work for you, you have to do all three. You have to see them, you have to believe in them, and you have to obey them. So sometimes in this life, we go through severe trials. Oh, you never had that happen before. But he's there going through those times with us and strengthening us on our journey. He's there with us. I've been in it for the last 5 years. I've been in the hospital like three different times for quite a few days. And first of all, I never had any fear because I knew God was with me. There was no fear. And second, his presence was with me. Even in the midst, even when no one was around, he was there. And I sensed that. So because we're human and don't always understand what he is doing or allowing in our lives, what he's doing, he's looking for our trust in him as he provides the grace and strength to go through our situation. And he's always doing what is best for us. So what am I doing here? He's still doing his best for us. Hallelujah. And you know, one of the things that can be very trying to us is the loss of a loved one. Oh, well, the world out there, they really get carried away. And we're not supposed to be as the world because we know where our loved ones are going. The loss of a loved one can be a very trying experience for us. But he is with us and provides the comfort and help that we need. And one of the things we have to always keep in mind, and this is where you get back off and see the big picture. He never intended us for us. This world down here is temporary. We're not going to be here forever. In fact, at some point, this world and the heaven and the sun and all that stuff is going to be wiped out. He's going to give us a new heaven and earth. Hallelujah. So this is not going to last forever. And he never intended for us to live down here forever. We're going over to the other side. Hallelujah. And so it's really important that we are prepared to go to the other side. So he gives us the comfort and help that we need. And Psalms 116 verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious. Because they're going over there. Hallelujah. That's where we're all wanting to go. And one of these days that's going to happen, the rapture, and we're going to be out of here. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that time. So precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. So this is where we must look at the big picture rather than get lost in the here and now. Remember, this life is but a vapor and a preparation for our future. And I'll say something. It's a preparation for a future, and this is true for the good and the evil persons. It's good for both. I mean, it's true for both. We're either believing the truth or we're believing the lie. We're either preparing for heaven or we're preparing for hell, because we know best. God can't tell us what to do. We know where we're, what we're doing and everything. Well, let me tell you something about that life. If you believe the lie, it's a downward spiral. It will get more and more wicked. Just look at our world out there today. It's getting more and more wicked because there's so many people that believe the lie of Satan, and they're just going along with the crowd. And we'll find out where that ends up at. Hebrews 9:27-28. And as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. Oh, people don't like to know that. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. So our days are numbered, and only God knows the time of our death. Physically and everything, what I went through, I should have been dead probably more than once. Probably several of you, too, have had things in your life, you know, and you should have been dead. But you're here because the Lord brought you here. You're here for such a time as this. So, but only God knows the time of our death. And if we're only focusing on our present circumstances, then we ask the wrong questions because of what we're experiencing in the natural. Lord, why are you taking our loved ones? How come? Well, because that's where we're headed. He's taking us over there. What better thing could he do? Oh, man, I'll tell you, this, we get over there, it's going to be nothing like this down here. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 18. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The fearful part there, I always sensed, was because we were given the power of choice. We could choose to do good, or we could choose to do evil. We could choose to believe the truth, or we could choose to believe the lie. And so God created us, and he gave us that possibility. If we want to choose to go the other way, that's our choice. He respects our choice. However, he'll do everything he can to disrupt us and make things unpleasant on the way to where we'll maybe want to change our mind and head for the Lord. So I will praise you, and for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and secretly wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written. While we were being formed in our mother's womb, God was writing up a book for us. And all the days of our life are in that book. And I believe also in that book is what our calling was that he wanted for us to do. So in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Because God's planned out our life if we will walk with him. So verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I awake, I'm still with you. So no matter what goes on when we're with the Lord and everything, he is with us all the way through. The good, the bad, the ugly, the life or death, whatever, he's with us. Isaiah 6:3 says, it tells us that the whole earth is full of his glory. So when our world tumbles in or caves in, it's good to look at things from heaven's point of view. Look at things from heaven's point of view. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now, not next week or when the rapture happens, now we are children of God. Right now. If you've given your life to the Lord, you are children of God right now. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So God wants us to live a holy, righteous life. He said, be holy, for I am holy. So we need to live. We need to be purifying ourselves just as he is pure. And we must realize that God's ultimate plan is to prepare us for a spectacular future with him in heaven, where we'll be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. 10,000 years? We've just begun. We can't even imagine the joy that we'll have with him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And verse 10 says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. But I don't even believe that the Spirit will really reveal everything to us. I believe there's a lot. We will not. What God has for us in the future is going to be so amazing. You know the old picture of heaven, you know, with guy sitting up on the harp, up on the cloud, playing his harp. Thank God that isn't what it's going to be. No, it's not going to be that. He's going to have some spectacular stuff for us, and it is going to be very, very exciting. Hallelujah. And the things that we're doing down here on this earth are preparing us for the position or whatever he has for us over there. I like that. If you just sit around and just barely get into the kingdom of God, when you get over to the other side, You may be in the kingdom, but you're going to be, you might be out pruning the lilacs or something, or, you know, you might be, you're not going to be in a real close, deep relationship with the Lord. But if you want to go on with the Lord and do wonderful things and be really blessed, used by Him, then you need to get with it down here. This is where we prepare. Hallelujah. So it's our proving ground. It's a proving ground for eternity, so we can learn to allow Him to work His will into our lives and to prepare us for an amazing future in Him. This life is like a vapor that disappears quickly in relationship to eternity. James 4:14 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But we give our hearts to the Lord, so we know that wherever He is, we're going to be with Him. Hallelujah. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. How quick will the vapor last? If you shut the heat off, it's... That's what this life is like. That's, you know, the length of it. So, put your trust in the Lord and put Him first. Keep your trust in Him. Grow closer to Him day by day. Get to know Him in His Word. The more we get to know Him, the stronger our faith will be. Saturate yourself in His Word and allow the living Word to take control of your life and plans. Please Him and make Him number one in your life and plans, and you will succeed in all you do. Matthew 6:33 puts it good. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So we got, well, there's a lot of stuff on. Put God first. If you put God first, He'll take care of the rest. He'll help us with the rest. Hallelujah. It was man's sin that brought the evil and wickedness into the world. So don't blame those things on God. He didn't do it. Man did it. I remember hearing about somebody, I think during World War II or something, somebody asked, why doesn't God stop the war? And this wise person answered him and said, He didn't start it. He didn't start it. See, we're the ones that are guilty. The Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, and the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to know why I believe that wickedness continues as strong as what it does? I said, God, why don't you stop that? He's still giving those wicked people a chance to repent. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. So He's given them that opportunity to turn from the direction they're going. And when they don't, you know, eventually, we don't know when that time will be. The Lord's the only one that knows. But they'll reach that point, and then they're in deep trouble then. You know, turning back then. It'll be too late. And my God, verse Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need. Not all your wants, all your need, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Does God have the resources? I think so. I think He has the resources. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness, wishing for somebody else's stuff. Well, He's got a really nice boat. I wish I had a boat like Him. Why should He have one and me not? You know, that's covetous. Beware of let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The greatest reward, the greatest treasure that you can ever have is Jesus Christ himself living here in our hearts. Hallelujah. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. So along this journey of life, we're automatically on the broad, wide way headed for destruction. We're automatically there. But there is a gate. It's a narrow gate. And it's a difficult way, difficult thing to find sometimes. Because we're not looking for it. You know, we might pass it right by. And there's few who find it. But there are many out there in the world who do know anything about God or the future of our world. You could ask a whole bunch of people out there in the world, what's going on? What's the future of the world? They'll go into some kind of theological garbage that isn't worth two bits. Because they have no idea. They have no idea. And so they're ignorant of the things of God. So it's our obligation to share the good news of the gospel with them. That's our obligation. Share the good news of the gospel with them. So to do that, first of all, we need to know who we are in the Lord. Are you born again? Who we are in the Lord. Again, we find that in the Word of God. This is where we find out. And we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again believers in Christ, and have his Spirit with us for eternity. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We're not the old man anymore. We're changed. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ. That's a tough one to see. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. It's like God will work in us to draw people to the Lord, and reconcile them to the Lord. It's amazing. I think about that. You know, God, sin and everything was not going to be in the presence of God. Okay. And man sinned. So part of God, Jesus, comes down here on this earth. And God is working in him to draw humanity back to himself. That's amazing. That's amazing. We grew up in this lost world. We're raised. We received falsehoods from our enemy. So we need to have our minds renewed so that we can understand the truth that sets us free. This world has filled us full of a lot of evil, a lot of lies, a lot of untruths. And we need to be renewed in our mind so that we might be set free. Have a different mindset than what that is, that what we have from this world. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, think about that. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Well, first of all, you have to have Christ in you. You have to become a born again believer to do this. And so we determine, I am going to live for God. Nothing is going to change me or cause me to walk out into this world. And so I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Holy. Why is it holy? Because Christ is living in us. And it's acceptable to God. And that's a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world or pressed into this world's mold. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to know what the will of God is for you? There it is. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you give yourself to the Lord and are serving Him and walking with Him, He will show you what you need to do. He'll show you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. And He'll be with you. And it's one thing I like too. He didn't just, okay, you're saved now, go out in the world. No, He is with us. Why? Because, you know, in all reality, I can't be a Christian in my own self. I can't make it to myself. I need His strength. I need the power of the Holy Spirit within me to walk the walk that He wants me to walk. So God has entrusted us to spread the good news to others so that they can come get to know the Savior of the world. Acts 4:12 says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's not Buddha. It's not Allah. It's not any of these other characters out there who are not alive anymore. Our God is alive. Hallelujah. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So you don't get to go to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus is the only way. It's exclusive. He's the only way for salvation to bring people to God. And we have the privilege of sharing that gospel with our world. So as the Lord helps us through our difficult times, He wants us to share our testimony with those around us so that others will be encouraged to put their trust in the God that has helped us and given us the victory. Isn't that what your testimony is? It's what it should be. God did this for me. He brought me through this dark time. And when you share that kind of stuff with people out there, they pay attention to it. In all reality, the world out there is looking for something that's real. They're not looking for some mamby-pamby Christian, so-called Christian, who is just living like the world. What's the purpose of that? You know, no, they're looking for something that's real. Hallelujah. And we have the privilege of working together with God to reconcile the world to Himself. So the Lord is coming soon. So we need to be about our Father's business so we can bring many souls into the kingdom. So if God is for us and has made the way through Jesus to come to heaven with them and have a glorious future, He's done that. Don't let the trials of the moment discourage us, make us fail. Don't let those trials. We need to back off and look at the big picture. Look at the big picture. What Christ did for us. What God did for us. Hallelujah. Look at the big picture. Then we'll be going on the right direction then. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, because you never fail. And Lord, you are with us. You strengthen us. You help us. You empower us. You anoint us with your Holy Spirit to be a witness to those out in the world. And I pray, God, that you would send us forth in your power and in your might and enable us, Lord, to be boldly, Lord, in going out and sharing our testimony with those out there in the world. Lord, that we might lead others to you. And we know that when we do that, you are working with us, Lord. And we are accomplishing your purpose. And we are helping to reconcile the world unto you. So, God, I pray that you'd move on our hearts, move on our lives. Help us, Lord, to give ourselves wholly to you. Not just part, Lord, but help us to give all of ourselves unto you. Help us to live for you, Lord, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, that we might be used by you. And, Lord, we pray that you'll just touch every heart, Lord, and bring us through all the circumstances in life that we go through. We know you're faithful. You never leave us. You never forsake us. So, Lord, I just pray your blessings on your people today. Lord, that you would send us forth out of this place. I like what the sign that I saw in one church on the back entrance, on the back door going out. It said, you're entering the harvest field. And I think that's what we need to. We need to be entering the harvest field out there. So God bless you all. If anyone would like prayer for anything, feel free to come up. And we got lots of prayer people here. We can pray for you. God will take care of you, meet your need. And so we're just trusting in him. Lord bless you all. And remember, our harvest field is out there. When you go out there, don't just go out. The harvest field is out there. Hallelujah. Be faithful to share your testimony and bring others into the kingdom. God bless you.